Okay, we're picking up the Gemara Nun Amar Beis, the very bottom, with the words of Amar Rav Papa. So Gemara is discussing whether we assume that the Ikar Shira is Bepe or Bekli. So we mentioned that there was Machlokas Tanaim. Seemingly, we were trying to figure out maybe we had Rayas this way or that way for different Tanaim, holding whether the Ikar Shira is by the voice or is it the accompaniment of the musical instruments. So now the Gemara continues with that topic. Amar Rav Papa, turning on to Manal from Manal. Now, Ketanai, there seems to be Machlokas Tanaim, the sign that we learn in a brisa, some have a disnan, it's really a mishnah, avdei kohanim hayu, that the people who used to play the instruments in the Beis HaMikdash, according to the Rabbi Meir, Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir understands that they were Kananim who were slaves, the Eved Kanani, who were slaves of the Kohanim, they're the ones who are playing the instruments. Rabbi Yossi, or Mishpachas Beis HaPagrim, or Mishpachas Beit Sipari. That Rabbi Yossi says that they were from the families of Yisraelim, of Beis HaPagrim, Beis Sipari, Emunim Hayu. They were, the town of Emun is the name of the city, Shayimasim Lekuna, and they were very strong. The Kohanim would only marry someone who has a very pure lineage, who had a very pure lineage who could trace it. So Kohanim would apparently marry them. So that's a very big thing that they used to marry them. So obviously they were miuchas, that they had a yichus, they had a very strong lineage. Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus Oimer Levim Hayu. Rabbi Antigonus says they're Levim. So now Rav Papa wants to suggest the following. Says Rav Papa, my love Baal Kamiflagi, can we can assume that this is what they're arguing about? Demand Amar Avadim Hayu. So that according to Rav Meir, who said that they were the slaves of Eved Kanani who are playing these musical instruments at the Beis HaMikdash, so he must hold Kasavar Ikar Shira Bepeh. He must hold that the main singing has to be done by the Levium. We know that the Levium had to sing, that was on the Levium. So the Levium had to sing in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Ikar point that they had to sing was the vocal point. The fact that they had the musical accompaniment to it, that's going to be something that the Avadim were allowed to do. And apparently they were better. I mean, obviously, why would you use the Avadim if you didn't need to? So they maybe were very talented, you know. And even nowadays, a lot of Goyim are very talented when it comes to the musical field. So that's something that maybe that's why Dafka they were using them. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Umanda Amar Levim Hayu," but one who says that they were Levim. So according to Rabbi Hanina ben Antigonus, so then he says they were Levim. Kasavar Ikar Shira Bekli. He must hold that the Ikar singing is the accompaniment of the musical instruments. So that so therefore they had to be Levim, and therefore he had to Levim. He holds that they had to be kosher for the avoda of the singing, and singing includes the Ikar point of avoda is also playing the instruments. So the Gemara says, fine, we've answered two out of the three Tanaim, though. We have a middle shita that you've just ignored right now, Rabbi Yossi. The Tizra, so how could you make this the Machlokas? Because Rabbi Yossi, Machaisavar, according to you, according to Rav Papa, you just wanted to argue this is Machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. Where does Rabbi Yossi stand in all this? Rabbi Yossi, Machaisavar, Ikasavar, Ikar Shira, Bepeh. If Rabbi Yossi doesn't understand that the main point of singing is the vocal, the singing, so then Afila Vadim, so the Vadim Namnes, and if that's the case, so if the Ikar is the singing, then why does he care if the Avadim Kananim should be used? And if the Ikar Shira is Bekli, then he should hold like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus and only Levim in Yisraelim lo. So what Rabbi Yossi said in this middle shita that it was people who are miyuchas in who are Yisraelim, but they're miyuchas. So where does this middle shita have any grounds in this machlokas? The Malav Shachar pointing out that either way you slice it, it'd be a problem. If you held that it's Ikar Shira Bepeh, then they wouldn't be allowed to sing at all. If you held Ikar Shira is Bekli, then the Avadim could even sing. Why do they have to have the miyuchas? So therefore, the Gemara rejects Rav Papa, and the Gemara says Ella the Kli Alma Ikar Shira Bepeh. That all these tanaim in this Mishnah, Rabbeisa, they are agreeing that the Ikar singing is the vocal singing. So then, what is the machlokas? So they're arguing over the following. The Mar Sever Hachi Havi Ma'ase. Mar Sever Hachi Ma'ase. They're arguing over what exactly was a mitzvah back then. That everybody agrees that that the singing would be ideal. They're just arguing about who would be. Who were just singing? The Gemara says they're just arguing over a matzias of what happened. L'may nafka mina. What is the practical difference? What do you care? Who were the singers? It's clearly teaching me something. So the Gemara says you're right. There is an nafka mina. L'malin meducha liyochsin l'maser kamifla gido. They're arguing over whether or not if the fact that they were singing was that enough to assume generally a person had to have a status of a yuchos like on a star on a document or something to prove that he was yuchos in order, let's say, to marry kohanim, marry the people of yuchos in Eretz Yisrael, care a lot about their lineage. However, here the fact that they were singing on the duchan, as Rashi points out, haroe omen al duchan im alavim. That a person who looks at them singing on the duchan, he knows that that's already the fact that the Levium in charge and the Kohanim in charge of the Beis HaMikdash allowed him to get up there and sing. It can't be that he would ever be someone who is not miyuchas. And also they would hold that clearly if he was singing, they would assume that he'd had the lineage of a Levi. So the only one person who could be up there is a Levi, and there they would give him Maaser Rishon. Maaser Rishon is only allowed to be given to a Levi, and also the fact of yuchos. So therefore, that's the machlokas over here, and then they're going to think that they're Levim. So the Gemara says, and so this is the three machlokas. We're going to flesh out the three sides. Madam Ravadim Hayu. So the one Rav Meir who says that they were even allowed to be Avadim Kananim, Kasavar in Malam Meduchal Yochsin Velomaiser. He says, nobody, there's no halacha like that. There's no halacha that the fact that they get up to sing on the Duchen, that they're literally the Duchen, by the way, is a platform. That's why we say Duchening. Why do I say Duchening as a reference to Birkas Kohanim? Because they're supposed to do, ideally, they're supposed to do the Birkas Kohanim on a platform. So either, and then that comes from the platform the Levim used to use for singing is called the Duchan as well. So going back to Avir, the Gemara says that when they get up to this Duchan, when they get up to the platform to sing, according to Rav Meir, that means nothing in terms of Alach LaMaisa. Can you give them your Maisa Rishon, which is entitled to a Levi? And can you give them the, consider them, Miuchas, consider them to have a very strong lineage and be able to marry them without further checking them any further? Rabbi Meir says on both of those accounts, you wouldn't do any of that. So therefore, he holds that you could use Avadim. So that's Rabbi Meir. Uman Damar Yisrael Hayu, and according to the opinion of Yisrael, of Rabbi Yossi rather, that says that it was a Yisrael that was who had a very strong lineage. So Kasavra Malam Duchal Yochsin LeMaaser. So he held this middle shita. He held that they would assume that the person has a very strong lineage, and therefore you could marry into that family without checking further, without any documents, to assume that they're very strong lineage. However, nobody would think necessarily that it was a Levi, so they would only use someone in the middle category. So that's why Rabbi Yossi requires this statement that it has to be someone who is of a very strong lineage. However, it could be somebody who's not a Levi. Uman Dharma Levim Hayu, and according to Rabbi Chanina ben Tinnitus, who assumed they're Levim, he held Kasavra Malam Meduchan Bainly also Bilamaiser. He assumed that the moment a person gets onto that platform to sing, people are going to assume that he's full fledged Levi, because Levim are usually the ones who are singing, and people are also going to assume not only was the one who was singing, but he was also of a very strong lineage, and they would marry him. So that's why Rabbi Chanina ben Tinnitus requires him to be a Levi, and Lechora also require them to have a very strong lineage to assume that they were able to marry into any family in Am Yisrael. Okay, so that is a rejection of the machlokas about whether or not anybody holds Ikar Shira is bepass. So now the Gemara is going back to the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda and the Chachamim, and they were arguing over playing the instruments on Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi had his understanding of the machlokas tanaim that it's limited to the playing of the Shir Shel Yom, the singing of the Levim, whether or not that would be Dulcha Shabbos, but according to Rabbi Yosef, nobody held a Simchas B'Shoev was Dulcha Shabbos. Now the Gemara is going to quote a different opinion of Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, who disagrees with that understanding. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba Amar Machlokas B'Shir Shoev. So going back to the Machlokas of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda and the Chachamim is in reference to the even within in the Machlokas of the Simchas B'Shoev. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda holds Simchas Yaseira Nami Dulcha Shabbos. He holds that it's the whole din of we just mentioned that the whole concept of playing instruments anyway is Gzera D'Rabbanan Shemei Yisakin Klei Shir. So here there's a Shavuos B'Mikdash, even though it's not a fundamental part of the celebration, still that overrides Shabbos, and therefore it would be mutter. So then Rabbanan disagree. They said Simcha Yisera in Docha Shabbos, that an extra Simcha playing for the sake of increased celebrations, which is not an ikar part of the avoda, would not be Dulcha Shabbos. Avav Bashir Shal Korban, but with regards to the song that they used to sing that came with the Korban Tamid Shal Shachar Ben Arbayim, Divrei Kol Avodahi, everyone agrees that it's a fundamental avoda of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, if Dulcha Shabbos, it's going to be Dulcha Shabbos. So we have over here Rabbi Arba that he's disagreeing on both accounts with regards to Rabbi Yossi. One is that when it comes to Simchas Beis Shoeva, he understands that that's the Machlokes. The Machlokes is really Be'etim, is whether or not they assume that would be Dulcha Shabbos. According to Rabbi Yossi, nobody would argue that there would be any shita that held that you can play the music on Simchas Beis Shoeva. And comes Rabbi Yirmiyahu, and he says no. According to Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, he says of course there is a machlokas about that. And the second point is that according to Rabbi Yossi, if the machlokas was all about when it comes to Shir Shayom is at Dulcha Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, everyone agrees that the Shir Shayom is Dulcha Shabbos. So now the Gemara wants to ask a kasha on Rabbi Yossi, and we're actually going to end up rejecting Rabbi Yossi on both of these accounts. We have a question on Yosef based on the Brisa. So the Brisa tells us Shir Shel Shoeva Docha Es HaShabbos. The song of the water drowning is going to override Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, v'chachamim omrim af Yom Tov ein docha. It doesn't even override the Yom Tov. So the Gemara says that this is seemingly tiyuf to the Rabbi Yosef. This is a shaila tiyuf to the Rabbi Yosef tiyuf. This is a double knockout on Rabbi Yosef because he holds that there's no machlokas when it comes to Simchas Beis Shoeva. We have a Farish Brisa that says there's a machlokas when it comes to the Simchas Beis Shoeva, whether or not it was docha Shabbos or not. There's a Farish Brisa against Rabbi Yosef. Therefore, it's a double tiyuf. The double tiyuf to Israel when I was younger. It's like a double knockout. It's in boxing, right? You knock out the guy. He's out, so that there's no way of getting up from that. One tiyuf to maybe sometimes the Gemara will suggest a teretz out of it, but a double tiyuf to the Gemara keeps it usually 99.9% of the time. I think there's a few cases maybe that they will override it, but a double tiyuf to almost all the time is refuted and doesn't come back. Now the Gemara says, even a second point, Lema Bashir Shoeva Dehu Depligi, Ava Bashir Shal Korban Dibra Kol Doches HaShabbos. So the Gemara says that there was one point Rabbi Yosef argued. Rabbi Yosef said that nobody says the Simchas Avos Shoeva is going to be a heter to violate Shabbos. We just brought a Tana that says that way, and that's machlokas like Rabbi Yom Barabbas. So that, on that front, we've just rejected Rabbi Yosef. Now we're going to reject Rabbi Yosef on the other front, is that when it comes to a Shir Shoeva Hu Tepligi Aval B'Shir Shal Korban Devar Kol Duchas Shabbos, Rabbi Yosef argued that Rabbi Yom Barabbas argued rather that when it comes to the Simchas, that when it comes to the Shir Shal Yom, when it comes to the Shir Shal Yom that they sing along with the Korban, that was done, and everyone agrees that was Duchas Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef argued that was machlokas Tanaim. So the Gemara points out that the Lechor, everyone agreed, like Rabbi Yehuda Abba and this Nekuda also, and the Gemara points out, B'Shir Shal Korban Hokol Aval B'Shir Shal Korban Devar Kol Duchas Shabbos Le'Matia Tuf to the Rav Yosef Betarte. Now we have a double on both fronts. We're now rejecting Rav Yosef. So the Gemara says, you're right, Amar Lechor Rav Yosef, please. No, but the Gemara first tries to bring an answer, then we're going to reject him. The Gemara says, Amar Lechor Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef is going to argue with you. He's going to say, Pligi B'Shir Shal Shoeva V'Hu Adin LeKorban. They're arguing with regards to the Simchas V'Shoeva, and they're also arguing with regards to the Korban. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, why are you making the machlokas about the Simchas B'Shoeva? There's a much, if they're going to make the same machlokas with regards to the Shir Shoeva, you should mention that. So the Gemara says, no, but how do we make B'Shir Shoeva? Rav Yosef is going to argue the fact that they discuss that there's a machlokas with regards to Simchas B'Shoeva. Lehodiacha kochot Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. That's to tell you how far Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda goes. That filo der Shoeva namidafke, that he holds even with regards to the water drawing, which is only an extra level of simcha, which isn't part of the ikar vod, is Docha Shabbos. He's going to go that far to tell you that would be Docha Shabbos, but there would be the same machlokas with regards to the shir that accompanied the Talmud Shel Shachar, Talmud Ben Shambayim. So the Gemara answers that maybe Rav Yosef is not a problem. The Gemara says, but wait a second, no, this answer doesn't work. V'haktani, zeu chalil shebeis ha-shoeva. The Mishnah told us that this is the flute of the place where the water was drawn. She'enu docha lo shabbos v'lo se'yom tov zeu deinu v'ocha. So the Gemara makes a diuk now. This is talking about that Dafka, this was a place that's not overriding Shabbos or Yom Tov. The Gemara Mashma, that this, Zeh, what's this, Zeh? Zeh in Odocha. The Mishnah implying that the lashon of this, that this is not overriding Shabbos, implies only the Simchas B'Shoeva of the Korban Docha. But even the Chachamim are going to agree that everyone's going to agree that when it comes to the regular, the singing that was done with the Talmud Shel Shachar Ben Arbayim, that would override Shabbos, the gzera of not playing music on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, money. Now, who is this opinion? So the Gemara says, if we're going to tell me that this is Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, that's not, that implication is incorrect in the Mishnah, because Amar Shir Shoeva Namidocha. Again, this implication was that only when it comes to the Shira by Simchas, not only, sorry, yeah, only when it comes to Shira by Simchas V'Shoeva is it not going to be Docha Shabbos, and implies that the Shira by the Korban is Docha Shabbos. So who is that Shita? If it's Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, it doesn't work because he holds that both of them are Docha Shabbos. Amar Shir Shoeva Namidocha, they're both going to be Docha Shabbos. El Lav Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, L'chora, we're assuming that this is the Shita of the Rabbanan who hold that the Simchas V'Shoeva did not override Shabbos. And we see from here the Mishnah is proving that the Chachamim are be'etzem holding that really only the Simchas B'Shoeva is not Docha Shabbos, but in Echanami, the Simcha of the musical accompaniment of the Korban would in fact Docha Shabbos. Now we've rejected Rav Yosef's both points, and the Gemara says, you're right, truth to Rav Yosef, but tarti to Yufta. We've just rejected Rav Yosef on both points. Rav Yosef is completely knocked out. His Shita on both ends of that there's a machloka. He said there's no machlokas about Simchas Reva. That is a machlokas, and then he says that everyone agrees that there would be a machlokas about the shir that accompanied the korban on Shabbos. He says there's a machlokas. We're saying no. Everybody agrees that that would be Docha Shabbos. So we've rejected Yosef on both fronts. Now the Gemara says, "My time, I demand Amar Iker Shir Bekli." So the Gemara wants to point out now. It was a little difficult, I want to point out, that L'chora, what exactly is the Gemara asking? We've just proved that there's no source for any Tana necessarily that holds the Iker Shir as Bekli. So that's the Shiloh over here. According to Yirmi Abba, he's the answer that we just get. He says that when it comes to was Docha Shabbos, because when it comes to Shabbos, is L'chora, the playing over of Shabbos, even if the case is Iker Shira B'peh, because he says that even when it comes to Shabbos, everyone's going to be Modeh when it's the Korban. So L'chora, this is difficult, who the Gemara is asking, which time this is. But either way, the Gemara is asking, if we're assuming that this suggestion is still possible, that there is somebody who holds that the Iker Shira is B'kli, who is that Tana? The Gemara says, it's based on the Pasuk over here. The Pasuk is talking about Chizkiyahu Melech, that when he came back to rededicate the Beis HaMikdash after Achaz, who was terrible, his father, was very terrible, he put in all this avodah zarah. So the pasuk says, "Vayomer Chizkiyahu la'alos ha'ulah mizbeach ve'isach el ha'ulah echel shir la'Hashem v'chatzutot v'alei clear v'alei clay David Melech Yisrael." The pasuk tells us that Chizkiyahu he wanted the ola to be brought up on the mizbeach, and he said that as long as they brought the ola, they started blowing the trumpets, the instruments of David, and Klal Yisrael started to sing. We see that the trumpets are mentioned first, and they're part of the Shir Hashem, that the people were singing towards Hashem, implies that it's an ikar part and a main point of the singing is the actual musical accompaniment of that singing. So Mara says, My time, I demand our ikra shiva pesa. Now we're bringing, what is the reason? The one who disagrees and says the ikra singing is only by the voice. Then where says the chsiv? It's written here, is talking about dedication of Shlomo HaMelech, dedicating the Beis HaMikdash. That there was in a group, in unison, they were singing the trumpets, and the people were singing together, and they had music with one voice. So it doesn't say, and Ikra implies that the singing is essential over here, even though it does mention trumpets over here, that it wasn't the Ikra point that they were mentioning, the Pasuk is stressing that they were singing. So the singing is the Ikra according to this mandara. I was just wondering, there's a deeper kavana over here of the fact that Shlomo HaMelech was dafka by the singing, and later they I don't have an answer to that yet, but why later, by Chizkiyahu HaMelech, was the Ikra, the playing of music, of instruments, what developed there. So the Gemara continues, either way, the Gemara says, V'idach Nami. And according to the other opinion that says that it's totally, when it comes to, it totally is all about the singing, Haksiv Vayomer Chizkiyahu, but it says that Chizkiyahu directed, how does it explain the fact that the instruments were part of the song of Hashem? How is he going to answer that question? So where says Hachikamar? Hechil Shir Hashem Bepeh. That the song of Hashem began with singing. However, it began like that. And then why did they bring the instruments? See, like he breaks up the puzzle a little differently. He says that they started singing, and then they added the instruments to it. The instruments were just there to literally sweeten up the sound of the music. And it wasn't the main point of the singing. It's always better when you have background music. Even shiurim nowadays, a lot of the inspirational shiurim, you'll have a lot of people will put like inspiring background music. Yeah, it helps. It helps a little bit, but it's not a main point of the, certainly not shiur, hopefully. It's not going to be the background music, inspirational background music, but certainly, even when it comes to singing, the main point is the actual voice you're hearing, and the music behind it is only supposed to enhance the singing. V'idach Nami, and the other man, Amar, what is he going to do with the pasuk that implies that they all sing, that they were singing in unison together, and then only afterwards they had the trumpets, so the singing is the ikur. And where's the Achikamer Meshurim Dumya Demachzer? That the people who are singing is similar to the fact that there were trumpets. Ma Machatzer Bakli, Af Meshurim Bakli. Just like the people who are singing with the trumpets with instruments, so too we were singing with instruments. So clearly, this is showing that everybody uses instruments because instruments are a main point of the singing. Okay, now we're up to the next mishnah. We mentioned this mishnah yesterday's daf, that the main simcha of a life was seeing what the simchas beis shoeva was all about. Mishalora simchas beis shoeva, we should be zocha beis Hashem. Only for weeks the beis hamikdash should be built. Beis Hashem, now be zocha to the simchas beis shoeva in the beis hamikdash. Beis Hashem. Mishalora simchas beis shoeva, lora simcha miyama. Whoever did not see the celebration of the drawing of the water had not seen true simcha in his life. Again, there's a lot of Torah on this. There's a lot of chassidus of Torah. There's a lot of regular Torah. Everything on this line. What is the mishnah talking about? Motzi yom tov harishon shel chag. The conclusion of the first day of Yom Tov, so going into the first day of Chol HaMoed, Yardu Lez Nashim, the Kohen and Levim went down to the woman's courtyard, as we mentioned, because none of this process was really Docha Shabbos. They weren't allowed to do anything we're about to see. Musakun Sham Tikkun Gadol, they did something, a big tikkun, they fixed something very, very bad. They're not very bad, but they fixed something, and it was a great benefit. The Gemara is going to discuss what that was. We'll get to it, maybe not at the end of today's Amud. Menorah Shel Zav HaYusham, and there was a golden candelabra there that was used to illuminate the whole area. The Arba Sfalim Shel Zav Roshem, they had four golden bowls on top of each of them with all the oil. The Arba Sulamas Lekol Echad VeEchad, and there was four ladders on each of these candles, on these huge candelabras. The Arba Yeladim Apricha Kuhuna, and there was four kohanim. The young, strong kohanim would go up there to climb the ladders and fill the bowls with oil. Uvidem Kadim Shel Me'ah VeEshrim Lug. And together, all four of them together had 120 lug. It's the Achronim are asking, Tazuyanta has a very nice question on this. He says, the Mishnah tells us that there was four kohanim, and there was 120 lug. So just tell us, each kohen had 30 lug. Why is it telling us that the fact there's 120? So Tazuyanta has explained that maybe this is a allusion to the fact that this is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, who lit up the whole Torah, and his light of the Torah still continues to shine on Klal Yisrael, even with Manazeh. So that the Torah's Moshe Kila, it's a reference to a remez to the Torah of Moshe. Aruch HaNer says a little differently. Maybe we know that the end of the time, that Hashem gave us 120 years to do tshuva. So there's reference to tshuva. The 120 is reference to 102 tshuva. Everyone should remember to do tshuva. Just like if this after this lamps expire, so too they're out. So too after 120, person that's his chance to do opportunity to do tshuva. You should always view it as you don't know when the 120 is. You should always do tshuva. Shehei metal and lekol seifa v'selfa. They poured them into each bowl. Mabliya mechzir kohen m'menem. They would use worn out the machnisei kohanim, the literally the undergarment of the kohen, right? It was the fourth thing, and also their belts. We have the belts of the kohanim. Those are two of the four begadim of the kohen hedyot. They would use the worn out ones to use it to set the fire, because you use one mitzvah, you use another mitzvah. The Tosfos and Shabbos discuss why was that mutter? Either way, because the Gemara continues, mehena yemefkim, they would tear them and make wicks. And they would light these wicks with that. Goloyo katzir b'shalayim she'inam yirim moar beis hashoeva. There was no area, there was no courtyard in Shalem that was not illuminated by the light of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Some say this is a Darach Remez, it's like a deeper Kavanah, that the Or of Torah was shining through the celebration to everybody. But the Pashup Shad is that the actual physical light was so great, it was 50 amos high. And the fact that we know that when you go from Har Zeisim or when you come down from Ir David, also you can see it, is that what the Aliyah al-Rego is supposed to be, Mamash and Aliyah. That when you come from the Rova, it's Mamash, it's exact opposite, because they kept building and building and building on areas that were destroyed. That's how cities are in the ancient world were built. After they destroyed a city, they didn't bother like digging back down to rebuild it, they just built on top of it. So the old city, we know the Rova Yehudi, is not a good example of figuring out what the Aliyah al-Rego was like, because it's on top and you go down from there to the Koisel. That's not at all how it was like. When you come from Har Zeisim, you come from Ir David, you Mamash have a beautiful view of that, of what the Aliyah al-Rego is. You see a huge hill come from Har Zeisim, especially you see Mamash all the way up. So that's what. So imagine that 50 amos high, and that was the highest mountain, and they had huge amounts of light, and it really makes sense that the light was shining upon all of Yerushalayim. So again, that's also Shaila. Why is it Dafka the Chassidim and Shemaiser are the ones who are singing? They were dancing. Why are the ones who are dancing the most? That's all Shaila also. And you see this also, the Gedolim on Simchas Torah also. Like, who has the most amount of Simcha? Is the Gedolim, who are most Shaykh to the Torah a lot of times, they're the ones who I see most Leibedik. And even though like 85 years old, they're still like doing handstands and jumping all around. It's unbelievable, the Simcha that they have, because they're so Shaykh to it. When it comes to Simcha, all the boundaries and natural boundaries are lost for them, and they're the ones who are singing and dancing the most. Avgusha is turning onto the next now. Avgusha or Shvedam, they had the torches in their hands. The Omnifnam, Divrei Shiras with Shpachos, they would say, Divrei Shiras with Shpachos, praises before Hashem. The Gemara is going to discuss more fully what these were. The Leviim, they had all these types of the harps, the cymbals, trumpets, all these different types of musical instruments. Al Chamesh, Esrei Ma'alos, Yerodes, Ma'ezer, Yisrael, Ezer, Sanashim, and the 15 steps that lay down in the court, Kar Chatzah Yisrael, that was going down. If you have a picture here, it'd be very helpful just to see the 14 steps go back to the Ezer, Sanashim, that was towards out of the Beis HaMikdash, closer to the entrance. If you come in from the southern side, it'd be closer to the entrance. Keneged Chamisha Sar Shir Malos Shabbat Tehillim. That was corresponding to the 15 Shir Malos of Tehillim, Shaleim, the Levium, Omdim, Mechli Shir, Omrim Shira. For then the Levim would stand, and they would have their musical instruments, and they would say Shira. So they would say Shira. They would have the Shira based on these 15 Shira Malos. So Amdu Shnei Kohanim Bishar HaElyon, and the Kohanim stood at the upper gate. Shiorid Me'ezras Yisrael Ezras Nashim, that would lead from the woman, from the courtyard of Yisraelim to the woman's courtyard. Shnei Chatzos B'dayim, they had two trumpets in their hand. Kara Gever, there was a person who would shout out, the Marnyuma we had earlier. The Marnyuma talked about the person who was screaming out to wake people up, or some say it's actually the Kara Gever, the time of Alos HaShachar. So that what would happen? They would sound the tkiah, true tkiah. They give the malah series. They get to the 10th step. They would again blow the tkiah, true tkiah. They give azara when they would get to the actual azara where the woman's courtyard was. Rashi points out they reached the floor of the woman's courtyard. Talk over have a taku. So if that's the case, then the hemshach of the gears of Hagila Karkas is not there, obviously, because according to Rashi, this is where they were. They would sound the tkiah until they reached the gate leading to the east. That was Shar Niknor. So they get to Shar Niknor. Hagila Shar Yotzim Mizrach. So then they got to that gate, Shar Niknor, to the east. They would turn their faces from east to west. They said the following. They said, our fathers who were in this area, who were in this place, their backs were towards the literally the Heichal, right, the sanctuary, and their faces bowed eastwards toward the sun, meaning that they were doing Avodah Zarah. There would be a lot of people worship the Avodah Zarah, so they turn their backs. However, us anu leyav einenu leka, or so say anu leka einenu anu leka. I'm sorry, anu leka einenu. Our eyes are towards ka yud kei. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hayushonim Vamrim anu leka leka einenu. They would say no, anu leka and our ka is towards us. That with the fact that we are so close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is so close to us. Again, the ka, the yud kei. Why are you saying this lashon is very deep things as well? But that's what they used to say in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. Now the Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan. The Braisa continued on this. Mishalora Simcha is Bishraeva Lora Simcha Miyamav. Someone who did not see the water drawing ceremony did not see Simcha in his life. Mishalora Yushalayim Bitifarta Lora Krach Nechman Ba'olam. Someone who did not see Yushalayim in its splendor never saw a beautiful city in his life. Mishal Ora Beis Hamikdash Beviyana Lora Binyan Mefuar Meolam. We did not see the Beis Hamikdash is stirring in its glory, magnificent in its glory. The structure did not see beauty in its life. Now that we're asking the last point, Mahi, which Beis Hamikdash? We know there's three. Really, well, there was two, but Etzim was the first Beis Hamikdash built by Shlomo HaMelech, right? And the second Beis Hamikdash was really built by Nechemiah. It wasn't so nice though. Then it was fixed, and Hordos, he built it and he fixed it up. That, right? The Gemara relates. Forgot where the Gemara is now. The Gemara mentions that the Hordos killed all their Rabbanim. And one of the early Tanaim that he asked how he could do tshuva. He said, "You destroyed all of the Rabbanim. You destroyed the Or of Torah. The only way to misaken is the Beis Hamikdash, which brings life." And he took that very seriously. And as part of his tshuva, he made the Beis Hamikdash very beautiful. So all of the usually all the ones that you see, all the models of the Beis Hamikdash you see of the second Beis Hamikdash, Mamish does look very beautiful. It's all a replica of Hordus's Beis Hamikdash. So what meaning? He didn't build it, but he fixed it up. So Gemara says, it's also amazing what he was able to do. So Gemara says, so Amar Baye Vitimar, there's Abin and Hordus, there's this reference to Hordus who built who fixed the Beis Hamikdash. So Gemara says, B'mai B'nai, how did he build? What did he build it of? So Gemara says, Amar Rabba, the Avnei Shesha Umarmer. He built it with stones of green and white marble. Others say with stones of green, blue, and white marble. Apik safa v'ayel safa. He had a row of stones that protruded, and another row was that coming in. That was a big chiddush. That was nicer in order to hold the cement. Normally, when people are building things, you have in between each bricks, you put the cement. So instead of doing that, Hordus Herod, he wanted to keep it nice. He thought instead he had a chiddush of building the rows overlapping. Every other row would go a little bit inward. It would be slightly inward. Word out to the outside. It's unbelievable that this is mamish true. You can take, I just took the Kotel Tadot Torah, they had a whole new section. Those were Zocha Tekandar Yisrael, soon you should go see that. There's now a lot of new cool, new things in the new Kotel Tadot Torah. They have a few things they didn't have before. So, but you also see that they bring parts of also the old one, and you mamish see exactly what the Gemara is talking about. That you see each wall, massive stones. They still don't know how they got these stones. They're massive. The bottom ones are literally weigh like 20 tons. It's crazy how they didn't have the machinery that we have to get it there, and they were able to build this, and it's mamish exactly what the Gemara is saying right here, that each one is within another one, and he didn't want cement in the middle. Mamish amazing. So the Gemara continues, Savar and the Meshim Bidahava. So he wanted to cover the entire Beis Hamikdash with gold. The Gemara says, Amru Le Rabbanan Shafi. The Rabbanan says, you don't have to do that. Tahacha Shapir Tvei, this way is actually better in this Nakuda. Why? The Meshchazei Ke Advasa Diyama. It looks like the ways of the sea, and that's a person similarly to the ways of the sea. Maybe Rav Luth points out in the Sefer. Maybe that's the idea the Gemara mentions about Tcheles. That Tcheles is so chashuv that because you'll remember the Shemayim, remember the Kisakov, remember the whole reference of getting to Shemayim and seeing Kadosh Baruch Hu. So maybe that's what the reference over here is, that it looks, it's a little bit on a certain bechina. It's better if it looks like the sea. Now the Gemara continues. Tanya, we learn about it. Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda said, Mishal Ora of the Alphas Shel Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim. Someone who did not see the Alphas of Alexandria, Lorak Babon Shel Yisrael, did not see the it's a shadow. What exactly this the Alphas is? Rashi describes it as a Greek word of a double row of benches in some area that they built in Alexandria in Egypt. Never saw the glory of the Jews. This was something the Gemara is going to discuss how this was. We know during the time of the Chorban of Bayis Rishon, after the people assassinated Gedaliah ben Achikam, Nebuchadnezzar was very upset about this. He was going to kill all of them, so they wanted to run to Mitzrayim, which Agav Yirmiyahu told them not to, and we're going to see them where it ends up. Most of them were wiped out after that. But in that meantime, they were able to, apparently they did very well business. I don't know what it was. They had a lot of money. They were able to build this beautiful building over here. It was a large basilica. It was a huge thing, like the Roman structure that they used to have. Stavli v'nim, there's a row of benches within a row of benches, similar to what the Beis Hamikdash had, with Herod built it like that. There would be 1.2 million people in one area at once. That is unbelievable. They would have 71 chairs of gold corresponding to the 71 people of Sanhedrin. Each one of them weighed 21 gold kikars. It was massive. They had a wooden platform in the middle of this massive shul that they used to build. This is one of the sources that I'm going to point out. This is one of the sources that we have the bima in the middle of the shul. We're very makbid about that. That's something that we hold as really an ikar, that the bima should be in the middle. The person who was the shamish, he would stand there with a flag. They came on shegi la anas amen. When the time came that they would answer amen, so he would wave the flag as a signal, and they would answer amen, because they had no idea what bracha he was saying. There was 1.2 million people in one area. Obviously, you can barely hear it in a big shul with a few thousand people. So Kol Shekein this, and he would wave a flag to answer. I mean, that's the whole shaila. Tosfos deals with on Amud Beis Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Tosfos asks the question: isn't this an Amen Yisrael? The Gemara seems to indicate that someone who answers a bracha and doesn't know what he's talking about, then he's not allowed to answer Amen. So Tosfos gives an answer, which is actually quoted Halacha. If you walk by a shul, it would be the same thing. Is that you can only answer Amen if you know what bracha they're holding in. So that's a shaila. And someone asks you if you don't know exactly which bracha, but you know that they're in the Chazar Shas, it might be also okay. But that's the Ma'aseh. You have to know that some form of what you're answering Amen to. So the Gemara continues. They didn't sit in a just a mumble jumble of different people. Rather, they had different areas of what different people sat. The goldsmith sat with the goldsmith. So Kasavim Bneatman and the silversmith sat with the silversmith. Nafachim Bneatman and the blacksmith sat together also. Metaris Bneatman and the coppersmith sat also together. Vegardim Bneatman, the weaver sat separately. Shani Nechna Sham, and a poor person came there. I am Makir Beali Umnaso Venif Nela Sham. He would recognize an area. All the different crafts, the best way to get a job, you'd get in there and talk, hopefully not talk in the middle of davening, maybe talk after davening. There he would get a parnasa. So the Gemara continues, Amar Abaya said, Vekulo Katlinu Alexandria Mogda. This Gemara is seemingly very problematic. The Gemara says, Alexander of Macedonia, that's the famous Alexander the Great, killed them all out. Barbar Manel already recognizes. Barbar Manel in the 1500s, notice that the gears that we have is very problematic because Alexander the Great lived in the beginning of Bayasheni. So it can't be that the fall of the Alexandrian Jewish community was much later. It was much later. So how is it that they was talking about that? So a lot of them have their girsa, and the Gur changes this also, but there's another girsa that it was Tarchinus. And he was somebody who was much later in the time of Trajan, that it was in the years much later, so maybe that was him. My time in Shir, so why did they all get wiped out? So Gemara says, because Mishum to Avre, Ahai, Kra, they went against this Pasuk. Lo is even Lashuv, Bader Chazeh, oh, don't go in this road again. Inu Hadur Asur, they did go back to live in Egypt, and that is what they violated. So that, and they violated an Isser, the Oraisa, of going back to Egypt, and that was a very severe punishment. So why was it? I mean, a lot of people violate Averas, but this one Averas, why they all got wiped out. So someone explained, the Marshal wants to say that no, because they ignored Yirmiyahu. They ignored Yirmiyahu, who was a Navi, and they were going against his warning, and then this was like kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back, kind of like Moshe Rabbeinu getting punished for hitting the rock. A lot of explained that maybe what the Valosko was the reason he got punished, right? But whatever it was, then maybe that's why they got punished. It's a whole shayla. He let her live in Egypt. The Rambam used to sign off his letters that he was over at Alav to live there. But Radvaz himself also lived a little bit for there. So the Rambam, Radvaz actually defends the Rambam on this, that he says he says that the Rambam only was living there. Radvaz says he himself was only there to teach Torah, and he was there temporary. And the Rambam was not able to leave because he was a physician for the Sultan, so he was not able to leave. And then maybe it's because leverage for him to leave, so whatever. Maybe that was part of the Heter. There was always a Jewish community there. We know we went there, so we found a ton of stuff in the Cairo Geniz, amazing things that we found from there. So either way, there was always a Jewish community there. The work continues. Ki asa Ashkenu dehavi karo b'sifara. Jews were reading. Or Avadia Yosef, that's how, also went back to Egypt. He worked there when he couldn't find a job for a little bit in Eretz Yisrael. He went back for a few years to teach Torah in Egypt. They were reading from a Torah school. Yisa Hashem elav goyim merachok. They were up to the pasuk that says Hashem is going to bring a nation from afar, and this is the Tocha where we're about to read in this week's parsha. It's a very scary thing. They're going to come, and then you're going to be punished. Amar Michti, Alexander said, "Wait, that pasuk is clearly a prophetic message to me." I was supposed to come in 10 days in the ship to come to Alexandria, and it only took me 5 days because the wind was blowing very strong in the direction of me to go. So therefore, he found this as a siman Hashem, and he killed them based on the fact that he saw this pasuk. It was a siman Hashem for them to kill him. Rav Luth points out that whenever Goyim had killed Klal Yisrael, it was always like a siman for them that they always recognized it was a time for them to kill Klal Yisrael. Not that they're justified, Chas v'Shalom, but that they recognized such a thing. Okay, B'Shem will pick up with Be'Motzei Yom Tov, tomorrow's daf.